Mercer, welcome inside the Crazy Ant Farm. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we are living the dream, as always, and we are super excited to talk to you. I think this is going to be a really fun conversation. We have not just the fact that you got to work with J-Lo, right? And we're going to be talking about what that experience was like and the movie and everything. That's going to be awesome. But you're also a fellow filmmaker like us. We're filmmakers, and you've been on the short film circuit, and we know all about running the short film circuit. And I love, too, that we're going to dive into a little bit also later on your goal and your initiative to try to inspire women of color in the industry and get them going and kind of thing. We're all about a helping hand. This podcast is kind of geared towards helping people get into the industry and get helping that hand and teaching and guiding what we know and sharing what we know. So we love fellow filmmakers that are out there making a difference like that and trying to do that. So that's awesome. So we've got so much to talk about. But what we like to do to kind of start it all off is just kind of do a little intro for anybody that might not be familiar with you. How did you get started? Was it something you kind of, I mean, California born, so it's the question comes, did you always know you wanted to be an actor, or did you kind of fall into it? How'd you get started?
I was always, I guess, a performer. I think that makes sense. I started playing the violin when I was 6, and I played that consistently for a very long time. And then eventually, you know, you end up in the church choir. and then you also end up like doing church plays for like Christmas and Easter and things like that. I also ended up doing those types of things in the schools that I went to when I was in elementary school. And my dad is an artist of many things. So a visual artist and also was a singer. I don't know. There was a lot of music in the house I grew up in. And I think we were kind of like me and my brother quite musically inclined. So, yeah, I think that's where it started. And then I really liked doing things as a kid. Like I liked having things to do. And so putting me in orchestra and putting me in like youth symphonies or sending me to music camp and that sort of thing was really, really normal for me because it's what I was really asking for from my parents. And thank goodness they could do that and they can make those things happen. And then I think when I was in middle school, when I was in 7th grade, that was the first time I took a musical theater class. Mm. And that was great. That was really, really great. It was really surprising that it was even an option. I think so from then on, it was always like a little theater here and there. But I was like spread pretty thin because I wanted to do everything. So I was playing sports, doing music. Singing, playing the violin, all the things. And then eventually one day it came together after I was taking some classes at an extension program at UCLA, and they didn't have one of the classes I wanted to take, so I finally decided that I was just going to take an acting class because I've been wanting to do it for so long, but I had been so scared to do it. I don't know why, but I was really nervous. And then I took this class, and that was kind of it. Like after like my first day, I was like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call my mom and tell her this is what I'm going to do for my life.
I love that, though. That's so beautiful because, you know, with being able to have the ability to try different things, it's very important to have a big support system around you. And it seems like you definitely had that with your family. And that's amazing because myself, I come from a very sports oriented background where my family, my brothers, my sisters, everybody just played sports. Nobody really ever gave much attention to the arts. So then when I got into high school, I was able to finally get on stage and finally start being able to put my creative brain to the test and be able to shed that layer of skin of anxiety, I guess you can. Well, not all of it because it's still there. Let's be honest about it. But I mean, to be able to have that type of support, I feel like is very important, you know, with, you know, driving you to the practices, being able to pay for all of the different equipment, especially, you know, violins specifically are not cheap.
No, yeah.
I did not know how much money my parents spent on my violin lessons until I got to college. And I forgot why I wanted to take lessons with someone, but I wanted to work that muscle of what that is. And sure. I was like, oh my God. Actually, I'm going to have to call you back.
Did you acclimate real quick to the violin? Did you catch on, or were you one of those that, this sounds... and then you gradually got good, or like were you just naturally, I got this?
I mean, I think that particular kind, like a string instrument, is, I don't know, I think instruments can be challenging in general.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I can speak to some of them because I've messed around for different periods of time with different instruments. But no, I would say no, but not in a way that I feel like it wasn't something I could do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right,
I
mean, right.
It's like, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's like when you have a young child in your life and they play basketball for the first time at, you know, maybe the age of 8 or something, like they've done their first basketball team, and you see them and you go, this is not for them.
Yeah. No, it's great that you said that, because that's exactly why I asked, because my daughter and his soon to be wife, she was about that age, 8, and she took up the violin. And listen, when it first started, I was like, I looked at her mom like, are we doing this? Are we sure this is good? Because it was rough. It was rough. Yeah. But then just all of a sudden, it was just, it clicked. And like, she caught me by surprise. One time she came in and I heard her, and she literally brought me to tears, because the film that inspired me to become a filmmaker was the first Superman movie, Superman the movie, back way 78, right? And I walked in and she's playing the theme song, the John Williams theme song. And it was beautiful. And I'm like, it's worth everything. Keep playing. It was like spot on. But it took a while to get there. That's why I asked. Because
talented instrument. I mean, I think, you know, it's, I used to teach violin to like young, like elementary, middle school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you gotta be patient.
You gotta be patient. That's so true.
You're trying to put a lot of things in your head at one time. Like, you're learning to read music, you're learning how to handle your bow, you're learning how to handle the fiddle, you're learning how all, like, what all the notes are on this instrument, right, are, you know, how to take care of it, how to, like, you're learning like rhythm and all that kind of stuff. You're learning all this at once, which I think it makes sense for you when you say like it clicks, because you're, it's like
yeah, once you got it all, you're like, oh,
thank you.
Yeah.
So I think my parents feel that way.
Exactly. So I got to ask, though, because you're lighting up talking about music, and you said when you took the acting class, you were like, this is it. Got bit by the bug. This, I'm calling mom. This is what I want to do. Did you see yourself always going towards the film television route, or were you Broadway? I'm musical. I can sing. I like to act. Do I want to go stage? Am I heading to New York? Or was that ever a consideration, or did you just kind of know it was going to go the other way?
I don't know if it was like a full consideration. You know, I think for me, when it came to really, I guess, making that choice, one, the in the beginning, like, that's why I think I say that I'm a performer, because in the beginning, it was a lot more of that to me. You know, that was my experience. Like, I didn't experience a lot of these things as like an actor. You know, when I was in a school play or this, I never, we did like a number, the big market number from Oliver Twist when I was in middle school. Like, I never thought, oh, you're an actor or you're acting. I never thought of it that way. I always just thought of it from a performance perspective. Mm. And maybe because also I started out with music, playing the violin, you know, that I had this idea, you know, you're like, I have a concert, I have a performance, you know, that's what it was. That's what you
Yeah.
Said. So I think I always thought about it that way. And then my first like professional acting job was at this small theater in Rock Island, Illinois. And it was a musical presentation show. So it was the Buddy Holly story. And I sang and danced and played the violin and acted in this show, which is probably why they booked me. Why I got the part. I met the most incredibly talented musical theater actors, like when I did that. Well, and I should say actors who were really focused on musical theater. And I think that for me, that was the moment where I became very clear about really wanting to focus my energy on doing straight plays and to focus my energy on doing film and television. But I would do, you know, I would do anything in that world. You know, I enjoy all of it. It's all wonderful. You know, the first musical I think I fell in love with was Rent. Mm. You know,
Yes.
Obsessed, you know. And then I was a kid in California and they made Chicago into a movie, and I was obsessed for an entire summer. That's the only thing I watched every day. And it was like the summer where I was old enough, I think, to be home alone. So
Yeah.
my parents would work and I would watch it every day. I actually got like a rug burn on my face because I tried to do a handstand. It was getting real in there, okay? So I think that, that exposure, like that bug really started kind of running through me. And I was very lucky, my parents like took me to New York and stuff like that, and I was able to see like Chicago, and Usher was in Chicago playing the lawyer when I saw it,
Nice.
like insane. So that, it just kind of developed. But I think eventually, like, I got very fixated and focused on plays, and I mean, plays are like my favorite things to read.
Oh, for sure. Well, I can definitely tell in this 12-minute conversation that we've had so far that you're very much a people person, and that you very much leave your imprint on people who you come across. So, like us, you also have a drive to help up-and-coming filmmakers try to break into it. Where did that come from? Because the entertainment industry is kind of generalized by the outside people, the normies, as I like to call them, as self-centered, and everybody thinks we're, very self-absorbed and always thinking about our image and all these different things. But we all know that we're not like that. But where did that passion come from, specifically to help up-and-comers, to break into it? Because it is very important to just take that first initial step, and not a lot of people know how. So where did that passion come from?
Yeah, I think maybe the root of that, which is something I have thought about lately, is just a lot of it probably comes from my upbringing. My parents are very, very giving people, like very giving without expectation of anything in return kind of people. And I was really fortunate to, be in like girl groups and like, after school programs that were really centered around exactly what you're saying that I do. Centered around advocating for young women and young Black girls, and so I think I grew up a lot around that. And then more specifically in terms of the business, once I realized that I needed to say out loud like the things that I wanted to do, and that there was real value in that and importance in that, that I think is when it started to click a little bit more. I could help and be of service, And so at that point, once I started saying out loud, I'm really curious about producing. I'm curious. And then eventually being like, actually, like, I would love to direct, in addition to acting. That would be really an exceptional experience. I think once that started to happen, I started getting opportunities that people were handing to me. I started, and I was willing, I was down. Like, I'm like, listen, I'll go run coffee. I know that there was a project I worked on that I sat in the car for 2 hours to make sure we didn't get a parking ticket.
Wow.
But honestly, like, I was not mad about it.
No, right?
I was so grateful to be a part of that film and to be like, yeah, I sat in the car for 2 hours, but also we shot for like a number of days and I was on set watching people work. I worked as a
That's it.
stand-in on set. I worked as like head PA person or whatever on set, all of these things. And so it was really all these great experiences that people gifted me, which really empowered me to make my own film. And I think throughout that whole process, like realizing that I could do that too, maybe. I think one of the organizations that really inspired me is an organization called Made in Her Image. And yeah, it's a nonprofit organization based here and in Arizona. And I was just, if you just read the work that organization does, it's really, really seriously inspiring. Focusing on young women, girls, and non-binary youth of color, and like teaching them and empowering them to make their way through and in the film and media industry. So, I think this is a long ass answer.
No, it's good.
We're here
But
for
yeah,
it.
my upbringing really supports that, and I've been so blessed that there's no way that I couldn't do that.
Well, there's so much to unpack there because everything that you said is so critically important. One, I love that you went into it knowing that, hey, I'm willing to run coffee, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, because I think that unfortunately, I think a lot of people that try to break into this industry are burdened with ego. and they can't get rid of the ego. They're, oh, I can't run coffee. I'm beneath, you know, that's beneath me. I'm an actor, or I can't. And they don't understand that the best film school is on set. You learn everything by being on set. And if you're not too proud to grab coffee or sit in a car or watch, you're going to get an amazing education on how to make movies if you're on set. So I love that you said that, because I think a lot of people out there that want to get into the industry have to understand that. Get on a set, ask questions, pay attention, do what you got to do, because that's how you're going to get there. I also love, I sat in the car for 2 hours just knocking a ticket. When you're an indie filmmaker, especially on like short films and stuff, you wear 18,412 hats. And you're probably sitting in the car not to get the ticket before you have to yell action, because you're directing also. You know, yeah, like, exactly. It's so crazy. But well, I love listen, that.
The ticket is not in the budget, okay?
That's
the
right. Ticket is not in the budget. That's right. That's the producer talking. You don't understand. If this gets towed,
no coffee tomorrow. Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, and you've been successful though. Like Brief Exchanges. You wrote, directed, and acted in it. Which, when you're saying I'm gonna make a film, it's hard enough just to make the film. Then you say I'm gonna direct it, and I'm gonna act in it, and I'm gonna like. Talk just a little bit about that process, and congratulations, because it did really well on the circuit. It won awards. Talk about that a little bit. Did you know going in that you were, I'm dead set, I'm doing all of these things? Or did it just kind of come to you and say, I know I want to act in it. Maybe I can find a director. I feel pretty comfortable that this is my story. Or were you like, from start to finish, this is my baby and I'm doing it all?
Very sure about writing. Well, I wrote it, you know, I'm like, that's how it happened. So there's no denying that. And then I was very sure about wanting to direct it. I really wanted to create my own opportunity for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I had been gifted opportunities from other people, which was really wonderful to have that first like sort of experience. But I was really in a place where I just felt like I really needed to just do it. Like I just yep. needed to do it. I wasn't going to go to film school. It's incredibly expensive. Like it makes you stutter. And it, you know, it takes a chunk of your life, and I'm an actor, and I'm like, you know, that's a chunk that you're really, if you're trying to still actively act, I don't know about that's going to
yeah.
happen. And so those are some sacrifices that I don't think I was really willing to make when it all came down to it. So yeah, that was very clear. And then I talked to a lot of people about acting in the film. I talked to people who I knew who had done it successfully, who had written and directed or co-directed and had done it successfully. I in my brain, I considered co-directing and eventually was like, no, that's not a thing that we're going to do. But it was really the conversations I had with people who were just like, you know, you call for advice and you think it's going to be like a discussion and they're like, oh, no, just do it.
Yeah.
Multiple people like were like, no, you should just do it. No, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. And I'm like,
I guess I should just do it.
You know, and I just trusted them.
Yeah.
They're people I respected and I trusted them, and I guess I trusted myself too. And then so that was kind of how that happened. I didn't intend to co-produce the film. That just happened. But I think those things very, very easily happen in an indie world.
Oh, like, yeah.
Just like you just realize you've sent 75 emails and essentially you started producing.
That's right. Figure if I'm doing the work, I'm getting the title.
And if you're in the work, then I think so, because like you said earlier, it's very difficult. Like, it's a very challenging thing to do. You know, I know people who've made their first film and it's a very good film and it did really well, and they never want to do it again.
Right.
You know, so all of that stuff comes, you know, you're giving up a lot to do something. So, you know, I think you have to step into all of that and own it.
Mm. Yeah, most definitely. Solid. And one of our favorite quotes is leap and let the net appear. So, I mean, that's definitely one of the things that, you know, if you're going to fall, you're going to fall, but you're going to have a learning experience. That's for sure. So, I mean, that's always very, very special. But I'm super excited because you are in Jennifer Lopez's 8 Mile, basically. This is me now. So
that's a great way to describe that. That's
right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I do what I can.
How long did you work on that?
Listen, I had to make it perfect.
You had to.
Not a lot of people know. Well, people who listen to the podcast know, but not a lot of our guests know. My name is James Logan, so I have been also named J-Lo.
Yes.
Just to shorten it down. So I'm very excited that you get to work with my name twin. And I mean, from what I've heard about this film, it was an amazing process. So talk about your part in it a little bit, and how, let's start at the very beginning. How did you even get a call for this part?
Yeah, you know, pretty traditionally, I got an audition. Nancy Nair is the casting director, so whoop, whoop, thank you.
Whoop, whoop.
Got a call for an audition. I did the audition. It was kind of a crazy day because I think it was in the middle of pilot season, and so there was a lot going on. Mm. And I was having a hard time finding a reader, and I called my friend, and she was driving. I think she was driving to her grandmother's house. Pulled over on the side of the road. Wow. Was my reader with her, like, in her car.
Dedication.
Nice.
Yeah, like, that's the real one right there.
That's right.
And then, like, auditioned for a couple of different parts, and eventually got a call back pretty quickly, I believe. And then I found out I booked it, and I was like, oh, shit, okay. And that's kind of how it all started, and then things I think moved pretty quickly after that, and we started filming, and yeah, it was great. I met Jennifer on the first day of set. She was lovely and really thoughtful, and shared with us her passion about this project and what this was, and really wanted to relay that to us so that we could assist in telling her story as best we could. That's great.
So, because for anybody who might not be familiar, it's called This Is Me Now, and it's basically like a fictionalized, not fictionalized version of her life, right? Like at the time she was dating Ben, is that right? Is it kind of that little section of her life that she's telling it at that point?
No, I think it's more about an overall, it's like, you know, it's called This Is Me Now, a love story. It's okay. A love story of her love life. It's the story of her love life. So I wouldn't say that it necessarily focuses on that particular period of time, because I think she said, like, everybody knows that story. It was very public.
Yeah.
Right.
It focuses, I think, more on the things around that that people may not know, and her experiences and the ups and the downs, and the discovery of how important self-love is and healing is, like healing of your inner child, and coupled with, you know, the trials and tribulations of love, and also trying to consistently believe that love exists for everyone and it can be everlasting, and it's available to all of us. We believe, you know, we hope.
Well, you nailed it right there, I think, because before we can have everlasting love, before we know that we're worthy of that, right, and that it can exist for everybody, self-love. You have to love yourself first, right? You have to figure that out, because you're not, in my opinion, I don't feel like a human being is capable of giving or receiving that type of love until they love themselves and work on the dark side and the shadows, and have to, like you said, heal and get to a point where you know you deserve that type of love and get to. So I'm so glad you brought that up, and I'm thrilled that they're doing a film that explores that. And she kind of, I love too that you said she talks about the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows and the tribulations, and because it's not easy. It's not, I can only imagine trying to have the life that she has and maintain the balance between a normal love life and being in a relationship and a marriage and all that, and then doing what she does. Right. It's unreal. So I'm thrilled that she's doing this, and it's in correlation with a new album too, right? Like, isn't it?
It is. So the new album is also called This Is Me Now.
Yeah. Okay.
So the album supports the project, and you know, it's a very fun project at the same time. You know, we talk a lot about love, but it's also really fun. You know, there's some incredible dancing in that project, lots of singing, her new music, which is just dope. And yeah, it's great. And I get to have the privilege of playing one of her best friends called the Idealist.
Uh-oh.
Also really fun, because that character is so different from who I am.
So, I mean, talk about that experience a little bit, because with it being so different from who you are, do you get to play with different type of reactions to things? Do you, and in that moment that you're, you know, rehearsing or on set about to shoot, are you thinking about, okay, I would do this, but my character needs to do this. I need to portray that. So is it kind of like that dual threat, dual double-edged sword type of situation?
I think it's more about like preparation. I think all of that should hopefully be taken care of in preparation.
You would hope, you would hope.
You're not like so worried about that while you're on set. That seems really stressful.
Yeah.
But I do think it's really fun to step into someone that's really just not like you, you know, and that an idealist is, you know, really believes in, you know, it's the romantic and
Yeah.
that's not really me.
I don't know. The shirt says different. You're like all Valentined
Yeah.
up with the shirt.
It's not true. I mean, I like romance, but I, you know, I'm not a romantic, and you know, I think romantics can be a little fantastical and thought, you know, hoping for what could or should and supposed to like what is,
Sure.
which isn't necessarily me. But I think it's fun. I do think in terms of what you said, like the reactions, I think are just so different. Like there's a scene in the film where there's a gun that drops to the floor, and like my character's reaction is not what my reaction my reaction would have been crazy. I would have lost my shit. But my character is just very like sure and like focused. So I think that part of it's just really fun because it's just so different. And I think, you know, that's sort of the fun of acting is just stepping into somebody else's reality and you know, letting the moment and everything just be true.
For sure.
Oh,
Oh, sorry, Logan.
go ahead.
Is she very structured? Is she like, how does she approach? Is she very like, you're locked in and this is what she wants? Or did you have some creative liberty with your character to be able to ad lib and play a little bit? I feel like she'd be open. That's just the vibe I get.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, we did a lot of improvisation on this project also, which is incredibly fun. She's really good at it. And it's she's funny. So it's a good time. I would say absolutely, definitely open. I think the folk, you know, the big thing is really making sure that we understand the overall story and what
Right.
we're doing here for that, you know.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. And I mean, it kind of leads into something new that we're trying in 2024 is our popcorn questions. Just some fun things to end up the interview. Definitely get to know you more, and our fans get to know you more. So we're very excited about it. And like I said, this leads right into the first one. What do you think was the funniest moment or most memorable moment on that set?
Oh God. Oh, okay. The most memorable moment was there's a scene where Jennifer throws like the bouquet over the like a balcony in the at the wedding and reception, and one of my castmates is we're all standing there to catch it, and there's a bunch of people behind us, you know, and like this is really going down as if this were a real wedding. There's no plan necessarily for who to catch it. I think there has a plan. But this time my friend catches it, and it's the person who catches it in the film, my friend Brandon. Oh my God, we were so excited. Like the excitement that is on our faces are so, it's just so real because everyone was completely shocked that he caught it. And so it was just like, it was such a fun, beautiful moment. Like, and it's in the film, so it's so cool.
Oh, that's
Oh, I love that.
amazing. That's amazing. Okay, here's another one. And I'm curious because we heard all kinds of stuff earlier on in the interview. So I'm really curious about this one. If you could live in any film or television show, which one would it be and why?
Okay. Can I manipulate the show?
Sure. Sure. It's your show. You're in it now. Yeah, it's your
Yeah,
life.
right.
What
It's
you
your life.
got? About this, I'm like, Jesus. Okay, let's just say the world's like all good, like equality is for real, and racism doesn't exist in this show. I would live in Downton Abbey.
Okay.
All
All
right.
right.
Talk about
Yeah.
class right there.
That's right. That's right.
I love that show. I've seen it too many times. I shouldn't say how many.
Yeah, no. That's not an answer I was expecting, but I love that. I love when you when they give us when we get answers we don't expect. That's fantastic. That's a great
I mean,
answer.
it's so fun, like, because the show takes place over like a period of time, and the fashion just changes, and it's amazing. But then, like,
Right.
big, beautiful, like, ridiculous place that they live in. But you know, we have to have equality,
Yes,
and
yes, yes.
place to really for this to be okay.
That's right. Like you said, we'll manipulate a little here, a little there. It'll be perfect.
It's great. It's great. But we know you already have worked with some amazing people in your career. So this one's going to be interesting. If there's anyone else you would want to work with, who would it be?
Okay. Really want to work with Jeffrey Wright.
Yes.
With Sophie Okonade, I think is how I would pronounce her last name. And I really would love to work with Noemi Harris. And, I'd really love to work with Sally Richardson Whitfield as a director, and also with Gina Prince Blythewood as a director, and Regina King as a director. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me that you've thought about this a little bit. That was real quick. You're like, no, I got this person. I've been thinking about it for a while. Yeah, for sure.
I respect each of these people immensely, and I really, really look up to them, like, wholeheartedly. Like, I look up to them and their work and their work ethic and, like, the things that they have done in the world of, like, art and filmmaking and theater. It's remarkable, and it's, you know, those things will matter forever. I really look up to Sally Richardson Whitfield because she started out as an actress and is transitioned into directing, and any show you've watched, she's directed on these shows.
Yeah. It's
incredible to see. I don't know how she did it. I'm like, if she listens to this, I would love to meet you, please, and just talk about all of that. But it's really impressive, and it's really, really inspiring to me.
Let's manifest that. Let's make that happen. We're going to make that happen for you. Just in this conversation that we're having, I can tell you that you're likely going to make all of that happen, because clearly you are that person and you deserve to have that happen and work with these people, because you're right there yourself. I'm sure after this interview, there's going to be plenty of people going, I want to work with her. I want to work with Ashley. So, all right, now it's time for the Barbara Walters moment. We got to hit you with a heavy question, okay? Like you know. If you could travel back in time, what would you tell your 10-year-old self?
You guys are making me cry.
I knew it! Yeah! No.
You know, I would tell my 10-year-old self that you, like, just as you are enough.
Mm-hmm.
That I would tell myself.
Beautiful.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful. Yeah.
I'm trying not to cry, so I can't say anything else.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's all good.
I promise you, if you do, though, we will, because you were emotional. Exactly. We'll cry, too. It's all good.
We have the mental health podcast as well, and we talk about a lot of stuff on there.
And so we cry a lot.
To go back, listen to us cry to make you feel better. Like, it's fine. It's all good. That's so funny. And then the last one is, so far, are you happy with your career?
Oh, yeah, I am. You know, I feel like I don't – I think it's really hard to celebrate yourself sometimes.
It is.
And I think that idea of celebrating yourself is really very often just related to this idea of, like, tooting your own horn. But I think they're two different things. And also, I don't think there's anything wrong with either. But I – you know, I try to celebrate myself, especially in this particular moment in this space and time. You know, this is a really hard business. Like, I watched a clip of, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I can't remember her name, but it's the woman in Game of Thrones who plays Daenerys.
Emma.
Clark?
Is that?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's Clark.
I watched the clip, and they asked her, like, what advice would you give somebody starting out in this business? And she said, are you sure?
Yeah. Like, yes.
That's exactly what I would say to somebody. And so I think, you know, with that being said, that should already tell you how hard it is, right?
Yeah.
The first question, like, nobody's like, oh, I want to be a doctor. And somebody, nobody goes, are you sure? Everyone goes, oh, that's great. Maybe people say, are you sure, when people say they want to be a lawyer, though.
Never know.
So I knew I was very sure about this choice, and I'm just really, really grateful that I've been so lucky to have all these experiences. You know, I remember when I was waiting a table in New York City. I used to work at this bar called Center Bar in Columbus Circle, and I was waiting this table, and this man said to me, you know, you really should enjoy the journey.
Mm.
And out of, you know, just out of like not really knowing very much about me at all. And he said that to me and I like never forgot it. And so I've really tried to do that. And I think in that is like gratitude and also like celebrating yourself and feeling really good about all of the little accomplishments. I think all of them matter, man. If somebody emails you back, you should just like fold that idea up and put it in your pocket and save it for a rainy day, because that's an achievement.
Oh, absolutely. Love that. Literally my mug. Enjoy the journey. It's literally what my mug says. It's you live by that. You enjoy the journey. No matter what, the ups, the downs, the goods, the bads, it's all part of it. It all makes it worth it. And man, I can't think of a better way to end it than that. Enjoy the journey. Listen, you have been an absolute gem. You've been amazing to talk to. And I think that, like I said, you've dropped so much valuable advice for people that are going to listen to this, and you're doing it the right way and you're seeing the success. And I think you're going to inspire a lot of people that listen to this, and the sky's the limit for you. I have no doubt that you are just going to continue to sail, and you are going to get everywhere you want to go. And it's just going to be an amazing thing for you. No doubt.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I want to see your films because you guys send your filmmaking.
Yeah, yeah, you got it. We'll send you a link.
Yes, exactly. But you know, it's all about social media now. So where can people follow you?
Literally only on Instagram.
That's all good.
All good.
At Ashley Verscher, Verscher with a V. That's it. Yeah.
All right.
Fantastic. Well, listen, thank you again so much. Take care, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you.
Oh boy, what a conversation, man. Oh man, it almost felt like, to all of the listeners out there, that we had a longer conversation after the interview than we did during the interview. It was so fun.
It really was. I think she nailed it when she said, "I feel like I could talk to you guys forever." It's so true. I just felt like she was sitting down in the living room with us and we were just chilling. And yeah, I mean, so inspiring though to hear her story, and she's got so much talent and so many different things she was trying to do, and to be able to just pull it all together and say, this is my focus, this is what I'm gonna do, and then be able to excel the way that she has is so inspiring. And it's just, again, we talk about it all the time, but when you're doing it right, you see success, and she's clearly one of those that's doing it right. So man.
Yes, exactly. Everybody be sure to keep an eye out for it. Jennifer Lopez's This Is Me Now. It's going to be on Amazon Prime, where you can find Ashley and a couple of other amazing, talented actors in that film. But Ashley, thank you again for coming on the show.